Misfits, welcome back to the Misfits and Mysteries podcast. We're your weekly podcast for all things weird and wacky, from Bigfoot and aliens to psychology and history and everything in between. We are your hosts, Emmy.
And Steve.
Steve had a birthday yesterday, guys.
I did have a birthday yesterday. My second COVID birthday.
Which is so crazy.
I know. Oh, it's been 1 year, but it's been 2 years of my life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane that we've lost so much time already.
And I remember, because my birthday is in May, and everyone was like, oh, it sucks that like you have to have a COVID birthday. But now literally everyone has had a COVID birthday.
Yeah. You want to know something fun that happened? And by fun, I'm being sarcastic here. So for the period of time, I'm selling insurance during open enrollment, just because I can make a lot of money doing this. And then I'll get like a real job after that. So I got my license to sell in New York on Saturday, right? Mm-hmm. And I had my birthday on Sunday. And in New York State, your birthday and the odd year, your license expires. So my license expired and I had to pay $80 to get it reinstated.
When you had just gotten it the day before?
Yeah. If I had known that, I would have waited till today and only paid $80 once.
That is bullshit.
I know. I talked to them. No. So basically they said that because of the situation, I don't have to take like the 15-hour course to get reinstated. I have to pay $80. I didn't complain because there's nothing I can do. But I'm like, what the fuck? If they made that explicitly clear, I would have waited 2 days because I wasn't selling insurance over my fucking birthday weekend.
That's such bullshit. Like, happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Here's an
$80 again for the second time in 2 days.
God.
You guys hear any weird feedback noises? Emmy and I are drinking.
Which we don't usually do.
We almost never do. We usually record at 10 a.m. on Sunday. So
yeah,
it's not a huge drinking time.
Not for us anyways.
Not anymore, at least. Not that I'm an adult.
I have a nice lime White Claw, so very classy.
I have a Madonna double IPA from Zero Gravity Brewery in Vermont, and it's in my Savannah Bananas koozie.
Wow, that's a lot better than mine. I just have a clear glass.
I'm still young, but I'm almost halfway to 50, which is scary.
I don't like thinking about that.
I don't either. We've lost like a year of our lives and it's not fair.
Well, Steve, not really me, but you are in your mid-20s.
Am I though? No. 25 is mid-20s, right?
I think it's like 24 to 26.
I guess. Ugh, that's not fair. It's utter bullshit. I don't understand. COVID fucking ruined everything. This is supposed to be like our time to do things and have fun. And then COVID comes. Sure, it sucks if you're like a 10-year-old right now, but think about it. Like, this is all over in the rest of your life. You missed a not very important year of your life. Us, we're like getting older. We have to actually start having a life and being adults sooner.
I feel like I've aged in COVID.
No, definitely. It's just unfair. It's just kind of unfair that this has been stolen from us.
Yeah. Well, at least we're not in college.
Yeah. Imagine paying all that money to either A, be at home, or B, be at college, but not able to do the whole college experience and still being paid all that money.
Not only can they not party, but they can't be in a room with their friends without a mask. It's crazy.
I'm just glad we graduated 2-ish years before this all started.
Yeah, I can't. That'd be terrible.
Anyway, I'm going to be vaccinated. When this comes out tomorrow, I get my second dose. So 2 weeks after that, I'm fully vaccinated. I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Yay.
I can't wait.
Well, so my family has been telling me to come home because in upstate New York, they just have a ton of leftover vaccines. I don't know if people just aren't getting them or if they ordered too many, but my mom has twice now been to Walmart where they come up to her and they're like, have you been vaccinated already? We have extra doses. So I am going to go home around Easter and try to see if I can get one.
Yeah. If you go at the end of the day, if you do your research, figure out what pharmacies and stuff, it's usually the pharmacies that you have the best bet at. Mm-hmm. What pharmacies do like late night COVID vaccines. You show up at the end of the day. I just know from working at a COVID vaccine center, about 2 hours left in the day, they know how many shots they're going to have left over. For the most part, they might have more than they know because they know who has either canceled or skipped their appointment at that point.
Yeah.
So at that point, you're in business. Like, they know how many vaccines they have left. They do tend to prioritize the volunteers. But if you're trying to get a vaccine and you're not eligible yet, the best thing I can suggest is do your research, show up to one of these places about an hour or two before they close and be like, hey, do you have any vaccines?
Yeah. And the vaccines expire at the end of the night. So it's not like you're stealing it from someone who would get it. It's going to go bad. So mm-hmm. you might as well get it while you can. So it's not wasted.
Oh yeah. It's a waste if you don't. And also the reason they're so lenient with it is because at the end of the day, even though we want to vaccinate older people first and work our way down, the other day, they're just better off if everyone's vaccinated.
Yeah. Everyone will be safer the more people who are vaccinated. So,
get your vaccines, everyone, if you can.
Get your vaccines as early as you can.
Also, remember, do not share your COVID card. You're not supposed to do that. Like, you know, like everyone on social media posts pictures of their COVID card when they get a thing. You're like legally not supposed to do that because there's a lot of concern. The two main reasons are the first is that someone might steal your appointment. The other is that, as we've seen with this whole QAnon phenomenon and the people who have microchips, there is a genuine fear that people are going to make fake copies of people's COVID cards and pretend to be vaccinated when they're not.
You got to be so careful these days.
So don't be an idiot. Don't post it. You're not supposed to. Everyone posts them, but you're just really not supposed to do that.
Yeah. Be smart. Be safe. Yeah.
All right. So what we got on the docket today?
So I know, Steve, that you have been very into pirates.
Mm-hmm.
So I today researched the Kraken.
Ooh, awesome. So I almost did pirate stuff, but I wasn't really in the mood. But I've been really, really into this pirate documentary on Netflix. It's about the golden age of piracy in the Caribbean, which is all like the coolest pirates, like the Pirates of the Caribbean type stuff. Can't think of what it's called right now. It's either literally called the Golden Age of Pirates or something else. I can't remember, but awesome, awesome show. I've learned so much. So it's a mix of they have actual historians telling stuff. And then the other half, or maybe even more like 75%, is a narrator and they have actors like acting stuff out. And it's really fun.
What's it on?
It's on Netflix. It's a Netflix original.
I'll have to check that out. You know what I just watched? Oh, this is totally a rant, but.
Go for it.
Murder Among the Mormons.
No, what is that?
It's on Netflix and it's this three-part docuseries about these people who are dealing in Mormon documents. And so basically this guy finds a document allegedly from the dude who started Mormonism, because you know Mormonism is only like 100
Joseph years Smith.
Old. Yes. So he finds a document from Joseph Smith that says that he didn't actually find the tablet. There was this white salamander that he was just following around all day. And it was really stupid. But basically, that happens. And then this guy who found the document gets bombed. And that's how it starts.
Well, I mean, it's not very nice. I mean, look, you should never bomb someone. That's wrong. Mm-hmm. But it's also really not very nice of you to go shitting on someone's religion and calling it fake. So...
No, but he found a document from Joseph Smith himself.
But do we ever clarify that it's real?
Well, he was a rare documents dealer. It wasn't just like some random dude being like, oh, I found this. He was like, that was his job.
Oh, okay. That's a little different. That's scary.
It gets so crazy from there, Steve. Highly recommend.
Well, you know the Mormon mafia made Vegas, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Las Vegas was created by the Mormons.
Really?
Yeah.
Mormons are shadier than you think, I guess.
I don't know. I actually respect the Mormons. Look, at the end of the day, they do some shady things and they don't still practice polygamy. That's not actually true. They haven't for a long time. I think that's like the worst offense. But like at the end of the day, I'm not a Mormon, but I would not be opposed to being raised a Mormon. They're good people. They don't curse. I mean, the good Mormons, I mean, they don't curse, they don't do drugs, they don't drink coffee or caffeine, and their whole religion is about having good family morals and values.
Yeah, and there's bad people in every religion.
Yeah, I mean, there's bad people in every religion, and when I say bad Mormons, I think more like the Mormons who drink and do drugs and have sex before marriage.
Yeah, it's a good show.
I'm gonna check that out. It sounds sweet.
It was really good.
Okay, so what I'm talking about today, we got a few exciting things here. So I found two cryptid attack stories. So stories of people being attacked by cryptids. Mm-hmm. And then you guys ready for the return of Amazon reviews?
Oh, man.
I found the greatest thing ever. Someone wrote a Rob Gronkowski erotica novel. And I'm going to read you some reviews of the Rob Gronkowski erotica novel.
And it's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon.
Someone actually got it printed into a physical book.
Yes. And I'm not going to spoil much, but there are a lot of people who thought it was a real book about Rob Gronkowski's formative years. And they were very disappointed when they read it.
No way. Okay, I'm really excited.
Yeah, I actually stumbled upon this maybe 10 minutes before we started recording.
Rob Gronkowski was actually like my crush in middle school, like my celebrity crush. So
that's I'm so funny.
Really excited about this.
That's so funny. I think we're going to have to save that for the end to make sure people stick around.
Yeah.
Any stragglers? The other book review that I'm reading is for a book called How to Avoid Huge Ships.
Ships?
Yes, S-H-I-P-S. It's a big oil tanker on the front. Okay. Or freight ship. but we're going to save those reviews for later in the episode.
Cool.
And before we get into the episode, let's get into some announcements. So we dropped the ball. We're pushing back the logo redesign competition. We're both really busy. Sorry, guys. We've been announcing that every episode, but no, it's not happening. Will happen eventually. Go to our website, misfitsmysteries.com. Sign up for our newsletter. We post. Oh, shit. I didn't write a blog today. Under normal circumstances, we post blogs every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, but I forgot how to do that today.
Blog and be like, headline, sorry, it's my birthday.
Yeah, I might actually do that. And yeah, so we also said we're going to do a bonus episode this month, and this month's almost over, so oops.
A lot going on.
March was busy, but there will be one soon, and we'll actually know when it's happening. We have ideas for it, so we'll keep you posted. So finally, whatever platform you're on listening, thank you. Please subscribe or follow or whatever they call it. Leave a review. We read off reviews at the end of the episode.
All righty.
And we're back.
I've started. So guys, Steve and I, whenever there's a transition, we make like little noises. And I've started doing that in my life when I just have an awkward thing or like an awkward pause.
That is the most exciting thing I've ever heard.
Exciting.
Because that is embarrassingly funny.
I found myself, if I'm at work, like switching from one project to another, I'll just sit there by myself and go boop, 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 boop.
That is the funniest thing I've ever heard. I absolutely love that.
Terrible. It's terrible. So if you guys meet me in real life and I start making robot noises.
You're going to have a meeting with your boss one day and it's going to be like really awkward. You go boop, 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 and then you're going to change the subject.
And I can't be like, sorry, I have this secret podcast that I do that on. There's no way to explain it away.
Just be like, nervous tick, sorry.
That's okay, anyways.
Anyways, so we got two stories of cryptid attacks. The first one's really quick, and it's kind of fun. This is a story about the time that Bigfoot threw a snake at a woman's car.
I loved everything about that.
So this is really quick, but I just saw it, and I'm like, this is absurd.
I think that was the whole story, right?
That was the whole story. Honestly, I have four bullet points on here, and they're each maybe a sentence long. So in May of 2015, a woman in Jones Creek, Texas, was driving down a road when she saw what she thought was a log in the middle of the road. And then when she got closer to it, it was Bigfoot and he stood up. And I guess she honked at him and he was pissed off. So he threw a snake at her.
The funniest part about this is it was definitely just like a drunk guy.
Yeah, I know, right? And then she's
like, drunk guy sleeping in a ditch.
And he just threw a snake. There's a snake in her car. And of course she didn't get a photo of it, but she froze the snake and used that as evidence.
What is that going to tell you?
I don't know. And then some Bigfoot hunters came and scoured the place and found nothing. There weren't even tracks.
Was the snake dead or did she?
Well, you know, try to freeze she didn't alive. Specify. I hope it was dead because it would be really cruel to take a snake and then put it in a freezer and kill it that way.
But they also hibernate. I think if you put them in a freezer, it wouldn't really kill them. So it was probably dead.
I hope so. But yeah, that's that story. Bigfoot throws a snake at a woman.
I love that so much. And also, I really want to know like the true story behind that.
She has this, you know what I bet happened? I bet she was like hammered out of her mind and like got a DUI or something. And she just found a fucking snake and was like, oh,
threw this at me.
It's like Bigfoot threw the snake at me. Look, I have proof of Bigfoot. I have a snake in my freezer.
This is like the story that you told about the kids who were like making out. And
that was the best. If you haven't, go listen to our episode with Campbell McLaren, the Jersey Devil episode. This guy's story that he's recounting 60 years later of the time the Jersey Devil attacked him is just the funniest thing ever. It's just clearly not true.
Yeah. You guys just have to go listen to it. Yeah.
And apparently, sorry, you also read my blog about it too. Apparently, what's this recap? Because this is terrible. Apparently, the Jersey Devil attacked them while they were like in their car in the backwoods in the Pine Barrens, and they chopped his hand off. And then he accidentally
chopped it off by closing it in the window.
Yeah. And then he accidentally goes forward instead of reverse, and the Jersey Devil flies to the windshield and grabs his hand and flies away.
And the best part about that is the kids definitely were like hooking up or doing something they weren't supposed to, crash the car. And that's what they came up with.
And this is 60 years later. So this guy's in his 70s and he's still telling the same story.
He is fully committed.
Yeah. We could probably find this guy and interview him. He's in New Jersey. And the reason I found that story, he did an interview with the local Fox affiliate in the Pine Barrens in like January of 21. Or was it January or December of 2020? Or so it was like really recent. I just think it's so funny that like this guy clearly is holding on to a fake story that they came up with. They're like, oh shit, we crashed my dad's car. Jersey Devil.
Yeah. Oh my God. What do you have next?
So the next is the Enfield Horror. Have you heard of this?
No.
So I have a lot of reading to do, so I need to take a sip of water.
Hydrate up.
Hydrate makes it easier to say words, and I'm not good at reading to begin with. All right. So this takes place in the town of Enfield, Illinois, which is in Southern Illinois. And some background about Southern Illinois is the Native Americans believe it's cursed with evil spirits. And early settlers and Native Americans have a bunch of stories of seeing strange phenomena, such as glowing orbs in the sky, shadowy phantoms, and hearing bizarre shrieks in the night. The area is also called the Devil's Kitchen.
Oh, I don't like that.
I'm going to be honest. When I started reading this story, I got chills, and then it just got so stupid like halfway through. But yeah. So, oh my God. Guy's name's Greg. When I was like typing this up, I wrote Griffg. G-F-R-E-G. All right. So on the evening of April 25th, 1973, in the small town of Enfield, Illinois, 10-year-old Greg Garrett was playing. What a name. Greg Garrett was playing in the backyard while his parents were watching TV inside. His parents were startled when Greg burst through the door crying hysterically. Greg claimed that he had been playing in the yard when a hideous misshapen beast had emerged in the dark and attacked him.
Whoa.
The creature was around 5 feet tall with three legs, short stumpy arms with taloned hands, gray skin covered in slime, and disproportionately large glowing red eyes. Can you guess what the creature did to him? So we're talking about what's supposed to be a creature attacking a little boy. Can you guess what he did, Emmy?
Snatched them up?
No, he stomped on his shoes and scuffed them up a bit and then ran away.
That's it?
The creature just ripped the little boy's shoes and ran away.
What? That's it?
Yeah, and this kid's crying about it. This kid clearly ripped his shoes on something.
This kid, he probably had like a little imaginary friend and then talked himself into it.
Either that or this kid that got brand new shoes and like cut them open is like, fuck. How can I get out of trouble?
We could have a segment of cryptid stories and then like the actual thing that happened. I don't know how we would ever find that out, but
what we assume is the actual thing that happened. It was one thing we can do. So they called the police because of course they did and filed a police report. So what happened is the creature stomped on the boy's feet and ripped his shoes. Yeah. Sounds like this kid ripped his brand new shoes by accident and was really upset about it.
Yeah.
The police arrived and they found no traces of the creature because of course they didn't. And then 30 minutes later, Garrett's neighbor, Henry McDaniel, his children were hearing the strange scratching noise outside the house, and Henry went to investigate. So McDaniel thought it was a stray animal, but when he went outside to confront it, he saw a bizarre monstrosity that perfectly matched Craig's description looming over the front porch.
Ooh.
Fearing for his life, McDaniel slammed the door shut and rushed off to retrieve his gun. When he returned, the monster was still there, scratching and reportedly hissing at him like a wild cat.
So it was a cat.
And that's what it sounds like to me. So he fired several shots, hitting the beast dead on, and it leapt away at a frantic rate, allegedly covering 75 feet in three leaps before it disappeared in the darkness. I know, no fucking way. McDaniel,
these people are high.
McDaniel, a grown-ass adult, called the cops, claiming that a monster from outer space attacked him or was scratching his door. He didn't get attacked. And when the authorities searched the area, they did discover several footprints that were 4 inches across and looked like dog prints, except they had 6 pads rather than 4. Dogs have 4 pads on their feet.
Yeah.
And it appeared to have 3 legs.
3 legs? Maybe it's just a freaky dog.
Maybe. But it does describe what the little boy Gregory saw. So obviously the cops were like, this is weird. And then also they found scratch marks that corroborated the story, right? And they're like, this is weird, but this absolutely did not happen, is what they said. So they're like, okay, whatever.
And if this beast is so dangerous and all it did was scuff up their shoes and scratch their door.
Exactly. It's not very scary.
Yeah, exactly.
But it caused a lot of hysteria in the 70s. So allegedly, the next day at 3 a.m., so a few hours later, McDaniel was woken up by his neighbor's dog barking excitedly. And when he went out to investigate, he saw that the monster was casually walking around the railroad tracks. And he watched it for like several minutes before it bounded off into the darkness. So we are to believe that only McDaniel woke up from his neighbor's dog incessantly barking and not the people who are like right next to this dog.
Yeah. And it was just like hanging out by the railroad tracks.
It was hanging out on the railroad tracks. I'm going to be honest. I thought where the story was going, I was 100% sure that the reason they couldn't find it is because the train hit it. But that's not happening.
That would be hysterical.
That would be like Operation Acoustic Kitty where the cats got hit by the car. Check that episode out if you haven't. We had an awesome interview with Olivia from Kid Nation. And we talked about Operation Acoustic Kitty. Check it out. But yeah, I thought that it was going to end with the thing getting hit by a train. But that's not what happened. So the next day, I guess McDaniels kept telling the story to people and word spread and a bunch of people started flooding into the small town to hunt for the Enfield Horror. And this is where stuff got really bad. There were so many arrests because people would come from like Indiana and across the country and just get belligerently drunk and just fire guns off.
Oh my God.
And the police
are looking for this thing.
Yeah. Monster hunters from around the country came to look for this thing. Some were like traditional monster hunters who just want footage of it. But most of them were just drunken hillbillies who were literally there to fire their fucking guns off. And a bunch got arrested. That's and cool. A lot of the sightings alleged that they saw a gray ape-like creature, which absolutely does not match that description.
That has 3 dog legs.
It has 3 dog legs. It has talons, gigantic glowing red eyes, is slimy and gray. How do you mix that up with a fucking gorilla?
Yeah, someone's
they were just drunk and trying to like not get in trouble.
Yeah.
So some of the explanations are an escaped kangaroo, a gorilla.
Where was this?
The thing is, those 2 explanations don't hold up. This is a small rural town in southern Illinois.
It's not a kangaroo.
It's definitely not a kangaroo and definitely not a gorilla. But the biggest issue with this story is that later on, Greg retracted his statement saying that it was made up.
Greg, the kid?
The kid who allegedly saw it first. Poor McDaniel Greg. Is now the only person who's ever seen the Enfield Horror. So it's probably a figment of his imagination or could be aliens.
Probably just some little kid making up a story and then it ended up becoming like a sensation across the state.
And then this McDaniel guy still insists today that he saw this thing twice.
He's confused.
Very confused.
He was high and confused.
But at the same time, what if this thing actually existed and no one believed him?
What if it was actually a fucking kangaroo and he was the only one that saw it?
That'd be the funniest thing. If a kangaroo just fucked up, hit the exterior of his house, and then got hit by a train and no one ever saw it again.
He's like, guys, I swear to God, I saw it.
Yeah. Back to the crazy bin, Mr. McDaniel. Those are my two cryptid attack stories.
I love it.
I still cannot get over the Bigfoot snake story where she's like, yeah. A fair part of it is that there's articles written about it, but the headline's the entire story. Bigfoot throws a snake at a woman's car.
There is nothing else to say.
Really nothing else.
And I love that she kept the snake too, as if that would mean something.
Yeah, I know, like, right?
I have a snake, so no one else could have thrown it at my car.
Oh my God. I just love how her thought process is, oh, if I take the snake that was thrown at my car, this is evidence of Bigfoot.
I just have this image in my head of Bigfoot like standing up, whipping the snake at her and like laying back down. He's never revealed himself to the public before, but he just got pissed when this woman honked her horn.
Yeah, and he's like, fuck you, I'm napping.
Fuck this.
He was sunbathing.
Fuck you, Karen.
Yeah, fuck you, Karen. I just love how she sincerely told a newspaper that Bigfoot threw a snake at her car and showed them the snake as evidence.
That is so sad.
It is the most absurd and hysterical thing.
I don't know if it's funnier with a fake explanation or what actually happened.
It was definitely a drunk guy. You know what would be even better is if it was a drunk guy in a Bigfoot costume with the snake at her.
Or it's possible that she just like hit the log the wrong way in her car and a snake popped up at her or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah. So do you want to get into your story now?
Yes.
All righty. I actually love that you do that. It's the funniest thing.
It's just become a part of my life now.
That's excellent.
Okay. So as I said, I researched the Kraken.
Release the Kraken.
Okay. So as I'm sure you know, Steve, but just to start from the beginning.
All right.
The Kraken is a legendary sea monster that looks like a ginormous squid, and it is believed to exist off the coast of Norway and Greenland.
That's where it lives? Isn't the Kraken also in Greek mythology?
Yes, but the actual sightings of it,
mm-hmm.
Norway and Greenland.
Hmm.
So it first was said to have been seen in 13th century AD. So long, long time ago. And there's this old Icelandic story. The main characters of the saga were sailing across the Sea of Greenland and they ran into two monsters. And I'm going to butcher these. Linbagger and Hafuga. Afrigugan. Beamagorgon. And Hafuga is the one that's supposed to be the Kraken. And around the same time, there's this quote unquote scientific paper that's published about behavior and the characteristics of these two monsters. So people like actually think they're real. They're like in scientific documents. And the author of this scientific paper mentions that the monsters, and this is important, that they're not capable of reproducing because two of them have only ever been seen. So they're thinking like they're just monsters that exist, but they're not going to populate.
So when was this scientific paper written? Like in 1300?
In 13th century, so 1200.
Oh, wow. So even longer ago than I was thinking.
Yeah. And originally, interesting enough, the Kraken looked like a giant crab and had characteristics of a whale. So it had like it was like a crab with a blowhole, basically.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
There's a random aside about crabs that
we've
got to throw in here just because the TikTok teens love this shit. So I think that
crab plug.
Have you heard about how crabs have evolved multiple times?
No.
So basically, crabs are such an evolutionarily advantageous design that throughout history, things just keep evolving into crab. They're not actually crabs. So there's crabs and there's false crabs. Mm-hmm. So you have your creatures that are actually crabs. Then there's all these other crustaceans that throughout time have, for whatever reason, evolved to be shaped like crabs.
Like what?
I can't think of examples. Give me 1 second. Just Google it.
Like modern animals? Yes.
There are modern crabs that aren't crabs. So hermit crabs are false crabs. They're not really crabs. They just look like crabs.
Some other time I'll tell you a hermit crab story.
Is it not for the podcast?
It is for the podcast. It's just a long aside.
All right. I'll say it for another time then. Not all crabs are crabs.
Interesting. That's very interesting. I mean, it is a good design.
It is. I mean,
whole body of armor.
Yeah, they're very mobile. And there's a lot of like things that are more like lobsters that have evolved into crabs. And the interesting thing is, it's gone the other way too, where some crab species have evolved to be more like lobsters.
Interesting. Humans need tools to eat them.
Yeah, so yeah.
Easy. Like it's, they're not easy to get into.
Yeah, it's a perfect design. We saw in Pinocchio in space last week, just how tough they can be for little Pinocchio.
Yeah, and I was thinking about the blowhole too.
Yeah, there's synergy between our episodes here.
Yeah, there definitely is. But interesting, because the Kraken, you know, as you know, in a lot of people's minds just looks like a big squid, but originally it was a crab.
So originally it's a giant crab.
A giant crab. Hmm. So some people say that the Kraken can grow up to the length of 10 ships, which is not very specific, but others say
I assume that's gigantic.
So that would equate to roughly 1.5 miles long.
I mean, okay, if we're just talking about evolutionarily, like the biggest, that's mammal though, but the biggest animal on the planet currently is the blue whale, and I don't think that's close to 1.5 miles long.
And also, especially in the water, you can't see that far. How would you gauge that it's 1.5 miles long?
Yeah. I'm just saying the only way that a crab that big could exist would be if it was a filter feeder, because that's the only way it could possibly get that much nutrients. It'd have to only rely on eating billions and billions of like plankton a day. It won't be able to eat enough meat.
Exactly. But I'll get into this later. So a lot of people think that the Kraken myth actually just came from giant squids, and giant squids are cannibals.
Squids are cannibalistic. They're awful.
So maybe, maybe Krakens just eat Krakens.
That's a valid point. You know,
that's why Humboldt there's squids? Only two of them left.
That's true. Do you know about Humboldt squids, Emmy?
Yeah. They're crazy.
They're gigantic. And when you like fish for them, they start cannibalizing each other as you pull them up.
I can't. That's crazy.
I'm not surprised that there's legends of Krakens. Squids are the scariest things ever. Those ones, they have sharp beaks. They have like hooks on all of their suckers. They're brutal killing machines.
I think they're really cool though.
Oh, they're so fascinating, but they're scary.
Yeah. And they just look crazy too.
It's like octopi are also crazy. Like all these cephalopods are crazy, but like the problem with an octopus dies after it reproduces.
Yeah. You know, octopus are my spirit animal. I love
them. I do know that.
Okay. So this is how big they are, Steve. Legend has it that some sailors would mistake the Kraken as an island and try to land on it.
Oh my God.
And they would step on it and get attacked and eaten and swallowed up.
Oh my God. That's insanity.
There are a few ways that you could know the Kraken was coming. And if you saw gurgling bubbles, surfacing fish, or a school of jellyfish, then you knew that something was up down below.
Yeah. Like
AKA a Kraken.
A Kraken.
Kraken. But unfortunately, it's so big that it really didn't give you a lot of time to get away because, I mean, if it can reach 1.5 miles long and you can see the bubbles coming from it.
It's, imagine the reach on that thing.
Yeah, it's too late.
You're donezo.
While this doesn't really fit in with kind of the original folklore, some more modern myths suggest that if you defeat the Kraken, it will grant you a wish.
Ooh.
So kind of fun.
We got to defeat the Kraken because that's how we can get these podcast numbers up.
Yeah, that would be your one wish.
Yeah, it actually would be. I'd be like, get us numbers better than Joe Rogan, because realistically, we could do whatever the fuck we want at that point. If we're getting like 15, 20 million downloads an episode.
Yeah.
You don't need to do anything else because you're loaded. We could literally make the podcast once a day. The quality can go to the shitter and we'd be making hundreds of thousands, if not like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
We don't have to edit, so we can just sit here and talk.
I know, because we'd have other people do that for us. We could research as we go.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, now we're going to get into some Kraken sightings.
All right.
And it was actually surprising because these sightings are so old that there wasn't a lot of great stories. So mm-hmm. I just have some quick ones.
All right. Yeah, I mean, that's how it goes back then.
Yeah. So in 1848, there's this big ship called the Daedalus that encountered a Kraken that was supposed to be 60 feet long. And they took this to the local newspaper and it caused a huge stir in the town. And then a few years later, in 1974, this was actually in India, so not anywhere near where the original.
Well, I mean, if you're a mile and a half long creature, I imagine traveling the globe is pretty easy.
Yeah, it doesn't take you that long. In 1874, according to an Indian newspaper, there's this ship called the Strathallan, and it's a little tiny ship. Okay. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of movement around the ship, and it was moving very erratically, not the normal movement of the waves, and people were kind of freaking out. And eventually, just a giant tentacle comes up and slaps on the boat.
Oh my God.
And takes it down immediately. The small ship soon capsizes, and the crew is in the water, but thankfully there's a bigger boat right nearby. So they swim over to the bigger boat. The bigger boat lets them on. They're like, wow, that was crazy. Like, can't believe that big squid just took you guys down. The bigger boat had a bunch of guys with guns on it. So they're like, let's just take this motherfucker down. Uh-huh. Even though it wasn't bothering them anymore. But they decided that they were going to try to shoot it. And of course, it just made them mad. And the Kraken comes up, brings his tentacles around, grabs the boat, and killed. Yeah, exactly. And in its tentacles, crushes two of the sailors and a few other ones drowned.
Oh my. I would rather be crushed than drowned.
That's very true. But a few of them from the ship did make it out alive to tell the tale. Okay, this one's pretty funny.
All right.
So this one doesn't have a date, but I'm assuming it was a very long time ago.
Okay.
So there's this guy named Bartholomew.
Bartholomew? I'm Bartholomew?
No, Bartholomew.
It's so old that Bartholomew hadn't evolved yet.
Yeah, exactly. So he's on this island and he's a priest, I think. Mm-hmm. And so he's on this island. He gets on top of a rock to give mass. And everyone just kind of like circles around him and he does his mass, whatever. And then comes down off the rock, turns around and realizes it's moving away.
So the rock's moving away?
Yeah. And he conducted mass on top of the Kraken. And it just went right back into the ocean after he was done. It let him finish and got right back into the ocean.
We don't know. Maybe the Kraken is Christian.
Maybe.
Maybe. We don't know this.
Yeah.
Perhaps he is a religious Kraken, a religious cephalopod.
This could be. And then this last one I thought was interesting because it's so recent. 2003.
Oh, wow.
So there's this yacht crew doing an around the world competition. So literally sailing all the way around the world. And they said that several hours after departing from France, they were attacked by a giant squid that latched onto the ship and blocked the rudder with its tentacles. So they stopped the boat really quickly and caused the squid to fall off. And that was it.
Wow. I mean, that's crazy though.
Yeah.
That's wild. Do you believe in the Kraken?
So there are some compelling explanations.
Mm-hmm.
So back in the day, 17, 1800s, besides those ones that I mentioned, there was tons and tons of ships going missing. And people always use the Kraken as the explanation.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's a lot of other things that could make a boat go down.
Yeah, like storms, the Bermuda Triangle.
Bigfoot, snake.
Mothman, Thunderbird, you know, all the classics.
Yeah, I mean, those are the most plausible explanations.
Yes. A curse?
A curse? So many options. I mean, yes. Other pirates?
It was probably aliens. It was UFOs.
It was probably that pirate ghost.
Jack Tegu?
Yeah, probably that one.
The husband of your baby ghost pirate?
Yeah.
Pirate ghost baby?
Also, giant squids exist. Like, the Kraken kind of exists.
Well, hadn't, like, filmed a live giant squid maybe 10 years ago?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So there was photos of giant squid, but there wasn't actually a video of one until July 2013.
That was less than a decade ago.
Yeah. And to this day, no one has ever captured one live.
Well, I think it'd probably die if you brought it on board.
No one has ever seen one. No one has ever, like, had one alive.
Mm-hmm.
They've either washed up on the beach or they've seen them in the water. But
there are some scary critters that have been seen in the water. They videotaped. Because, like, I was about to say Nassau, because I've been watching Pirate stuff. NASA. They do train a lot of their astronauts in, like, an underwater base.
Mm-hmm.
So they've seen some scary shit. And also on those deep-sea oil rigs that have cameras down there, catch some scary-ass shit that we don't know about.
Well, there's so much that we don't know about what's in the ocean. I mean, the Kraken, it's not a mile and a half long, okay? But there are ones that are 55, 60 feet long, which is really fucking long.
Is that the size of a skyscraper, or is that a little bit short of that?
How big is a skyscraper? Good one.
That's an excellent question. I have no idea.
Skyscraper is about 1,000 feet.
Oh, never mind. Taller than a house, though.
Definitely taller than a house. Wait, let's see. I mean, yeah. I mean, like, a football field is like
100 yards,
300 feet. So, anyways,
it's bigger than a school bus. Probably. How long
is a school bus?
Shorter than a football field.
School buses.
This is a repeat of Cocaine Hippos when we didn't know how big things were. Remember that?
It is so hard to get a sense of scale.
I have no idea.
Buses are 20 to 25 feet long.
So this is 3 school buses.
Yeah, like 2.5 school buses to 3 school buses. That's really long, though.
That's gigantic.
Imagine seeing an animal that's 3 school buses long.
That's gigantic.
That's really, really long. And so I just have some giant squid facts.
All right, I'm ready for them. These were fun last time when I had hippo facts.
Yeah, they're mostly just about how, like, fucking big they are. Giant squid can snatch prey up to 33 feet away from them.
That's big, quite the distance. That's like half their body.
Imagine being a school bus away from something and being able to just see it and snatch it with your arm.
That'd be crazy.
So they snatch out their 2 feeding tentacles, which are tipped with hundreds of powerful sharp-toothed suckers. Let's just say that again.
Sharp-toothed suckers.
And the feeding tentacles are very long, and they're often, like, twice the length of the body of the squid.
Oh, my fucking God. So they're 60 feet, but their grabbers are 120 feet?
No, I think, like, in total, the whole squid is 60.
Oh, like, with tentacles? Okay.
Yeah, so it's probably, like, the body is 20 feet, and then the tentacles 40 feet.
Holy shit.
What else have we got here? So, guess there's something in your kitchen that is the same size as their eyeballs. Guess what it is?
Microwave.
Close. Well, in size. It's a large dinner plate is the size of their eyeball.
Oh, that's the problem with guessing scale, is I always overguess and ruin it. That wasn't too bad. At least I didn't go with the oven.
That's bigger than my face.
That is gigantic, yeah.
So that's the largest eyeball of any animal on Earth.
They have the best vision.
A foot in diameter.
Oh, wow. That's pretty big.
But they mostly just use their eyes because they're really big. So they're kind of slow.
Mm-hmm.
So they use it to scan out prey that's really far away. And they don't do a lot of like active hunting. But when something's near it, they can
snatch it.
Yeah. So giant squid, interestingly enough, only live to be 5 years old.
Do they also die after sex, just like octopuses?
They don't die after sex, but they only reproduce once in their whole life.
So maybe they do die after sex?
They could die after sex, but like just in their life, they only...
That's interesting. Because I know that they've done like experiments with octopuses where they've removed like their reproductive, like something in their brain. And they live to like 60 years old, like whatever their reproduction thing is, they've removed it in like labs and the octopus can live to like 60.
That's so weird.
It's a huge design flaw where their lifespan is really 60, but the second they reproduce, they die. They don't die, like obviously not a second, but they die like a year later after they reproduce, but they have the potential to live to 60 instead of 5.
It seems like they've like failed their purpose, I guess.
I guess. Well, think of all the damage octopi could do if they lived to 60.
Have you watched My Octopus Teacher?
Not yet. It's on there, though.
You have to. It's so good.
It's on the list. I'm watching pirate stuff right now.
You have to do it, though.
I'll check it out. Don't worry.
Here's the last one.
All right.
So, you know, they have 8 arms. Mm-hmm. And each of their suckers on the arms are 2 inches wide.
Mm-hmm.
And they guide it into the beak. But on the suckers... they have these little tiny rows of teeth on them.
Yeah, I know. It's
they kind of chew up the prey before it gets into their beak.
It's gross. That's why they're so disgusting. I don't like squids. They're really cool. They freak me out.
I think they're really cool.
I think they're awesome, but like, I wouldn't want to encounter one in real life.
Oh, and there's one thing I forgot to mention. Some people think that the craction.
Craction.
The Kraken, why can't I say the Kraken actually did exist in the very large mythical form that people said it did, because they have found, so there's this creature called the Ithalosaur.
Ithalosaur, yep.
You know what that is?
I've heard of it.
So it's a very large extinct marine reptile. So it existed when dinosaurs were around, and it was as long as 30 feet. And they have found collections of their bones in the same way that octopuses and squids collect bones of their prey. So they're thinking that some squid-like creature that's larger than this 30-foot dangerous animal must have eaten it and assembled their bones in that fashion.
Interesting.
And then they've also found beaks that must have belonged to really fucking big squids in the bellies of whales.
Mm-hmm. Like modern whales or?
Yeah.
Oh, because so sperm whales eat giant squids, right?
Yeah, but like bigger, proportionally bigger than anything we've ever found.
Well, let's put it this way. So if we're looking at the same principle here, where like octopuses can live till like age 65 or whatever, then yeah, sex, maybe if there's one like incel giant squid who lives to 60, he'll be like 10 times the size of any normal one. Maybe he actually is a mile and a half.
Yeah.
That's why he's so aggressive, because he's an incel. He doesn't know how to talk to the ladies.
But yeah, that's the Kraken.
Kraken? Did you do that one on purpose? Yeah. Nice. That's pretty neat.
Pretty nifty. I mean, it's kind of a cryptid, kind of real.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where it's weird. It's like folklore, but it's based really heavily in reality.
I mean, it's probably one of those things that's based on a real giant squid, but over time, the stories have just mm-hmm. gotten so...
It's like a horror movie when they say based on a true story, and then all I have to say is like, Stanford is a city in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And then it's like, based on a true story. It's got to list one true fact.
Yeah.
Yes, there are giant squids.
Sailor stories, I feel like in particular, get so...
They get out of hand because they're retold so much, and sailors are super superstitious.
Exactly. So that's the Kraken.
That is very interesting. So we're about to get into some Amazon reviews, which
I'm really pumped.
Are exciting. Before we get into the Gronk erotica novel that someone wrote about Robert Gronkowski, tight end. Well, now he's tight end for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but former tight end for the New England Patriots, Robert Gronkowski, Buffalo native. Before we get into that, we're going to read some reviews for the novel, How to Avoid Huge Ships by John W. Trimmer. This one is from The Bumble. This book helps me find strength when I need it most. Reviewed in the United States on April 22nd, 2015. I don't know if it was the pressure of early adult life or the demands of college, but I began to experiment with huge ships in my late teens. I began by looking at huge ship magazines in the basement when my parents weren't around. Then one day, my mom came home early and unexpectedly caught me in the act. Both of my parents were furious. They asked me where I got the magazine from, and I said I found it and that I thought it only contained articles on small watercraft. As a result, I started to sneak out at night, telling my parents that I was headed to a friend's house to watch Full House. But in reality, I was in the library reading up on huge ships. As my career developed, I found an apartment that I could afford and moved out of my parents' house. My interest in huge ships only grew. My apartment became a center for trafficking huge ship paraphernalia, model huge ships, pictures of huge ships, life preserves, you name it. Eventually, some neighbors complained and the owner of the apartment building had me evicted. By that time, I was so far gone that I didn't care and I moved into a hostel. It was the perfect place to continue my pursuit of huge ships. The rent was cheap, drifters came and went, everyone minded their own business, and once in a while, a new person would come along with scale models of huge ships in Turkey. We had a lot of wild nights, and I was having trouble holding down my job. Eventually, I got fired. One day, it dawned on me that if I don't get away from huge ships, I'll end up dead. By pure luck, I ran into a fellow who went through the same thing, and he recommended Trimmer's book. Between the book and my support group, I made progress and got back on my feet again. Last night, I almost turned left out of the parking lot instead of turning right as I've done routinely for the last 6 months. Turning left would have meant that I was headed to the port of Baltimore, where huge ships are present everywhere. Winds blowing, sailors lashing gear on decks, and merchants teasingly gesturing to the gangplank as they ask passersby if they want to go for a voyage on a great big huge ship. I started to imagine the wakes in the bay and the frolicking of tugs as they pull and push these huge ships in and out of the port. There was a burning desire inside of me. My mouth started to salivate. My hands were trembling. My eyes darted left and right as they searched for an answer. I thought that maybe I could just go into the port and find one or two huge ships and it wouldn't be that big of a deal. Call it a voice in my head, an angel on my shoulder, or Trimmer's book in my glove box. But I turned right and headed home instead. My support group had a meeting last night, and I told them about my near stumble. I felt good to tell everyone that I did not fall victim to weakness. I have my beloved support group and my dearest John W. Trimmer to thank for 6 months of huge ship free.
Who came up with that?
I don't know.
The time.
I love it, though.
That's so funny. This book actually about?
You know, I'll tell you right now, I actually didn't look into it. I just found the review and I thought it was really funny.
I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter.
112 ship, a page, 112 pages. There does not appear to be a description of this book, actually.
Okay.
From John Petty, titled A Book of Hate Speech Posing as Advice.
Oh my God.
Reviewed in the United States on January 12, 2017. As a huge ship myself, I'm hurt and offended the author of this disreputable tract would suggest that I be avoided. Life is difficult enough as a huge ship in a world of sailboats, but now to be vilified like this is more than anyone should have to bear. Although federal guidelines exist regarding accessibility requirements to accommodate huge ships, we need extra wide docking spaces in retail centers and restaurants, for instance. I can tell you that they are rarely followed. leading to pain, discomfort, and embarrassment when I attempt to go out in public. The plight of the huge ship in society is rarely discussed. It seems that people would rather ignore us, hence the title of this reprehensible book, than to take the time to get to know us and appreciate our unique needs and common desire, leading to misunderstanding and resentment on both sides. Oh yes, I hear you. Kayaks and catamarans snickering behind my stern while I go by. Don't think I don't. I hear all the jokes. Wow, check out the wake on that one. Or when you sit around the point, you really sit around the port. At that point, port. We don't want to be seen as different or ugly or nautically challenged. We just want to be recognized as contributing members of society, the same as everyone else. So the next time you see a huge ship, please don't ignore it. Step up and say, hello, how are you? You might just make a friend for life.
That's kind of sad.
It's kind of sad. All right, you ready for this? This is the last one I'm going to read. There's a lot of good content here, but I don't feel like reading all of it. This is by Noelle D. Hill, a parent's review from February 20th, 2011 in the US. As the father of two teenagers, I found this book invaluable. I'm sure the parents here can emphasize when I say I shudder at the thought of the increasing presence of huge ships in the lives of my children. I certainly remember the strain I caused so long ago for my own parents when I began experimenting with huge ships. The long intercontinental voyages that kept my mom and dad up all night with worry. Don't even get me started on the international protocols and transporting perishable cargo. To think I was even younger than my kids are now. Huge ships everywhere, and it doesn't help that the TV and movies make huge ships seem glamorous and cool. This book helped me really approach the subject of huge ships with my kids. And the kids in an honest and not judgmental way. Because of the insight this book provided, I can sleep a little better and cope with the reality that I can't always be there to protect my kids from huge ships, especially as they become adults. I'm confident that my teens, when confronted by a huge ship, are much better prepared to make wiser decisions than I did. At the very least, my children certainly know that they can always come to me if they have any concerns, questions, or need my support when it comes to the topic of huge ships. 10,500 people found this helpful.
I wonder how many people have actually bought this book because of the reviews.
I'm borderline going to buy it. I'm not going to buy it, but I'm considering it now. Because I need to know what it's about.
I know. We have to know now.
But it's like 120 pages. So like that's, if it was 20 pages, I'd be like, yeah, I can knock that out in like a sitting.
I'm not going to read it, but.
Now, the moment we've all been waiting for. Cue the romantic music. Da, 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 da. A Gronking to Remember. Book one in the Rob Gronkowski erotica series.
I am so pumped, Steve.
All right. So it's a 38-page book. So perhaps you want to read it for us sometime. Not like on the podcast, but read it and recap it for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this one is by someone named Herbalt. I bought this book thinking that it was about Rob Gronkowski's early years and his development as an athlete. I soon realized it was a different kind of story, but after a few pages, I was hooked and now won't consider reading anything again about a pro athlete unless it includes a fair portion of, and then it's bleeped out. I imagine it's sex or fucking or something.
What is the name of the book again?
A Gronking to Remember. Book one in the Rob Gronkowski erotica series.
Wow. Now I'm like really curious.
It's only 38 pages, so you can knock it out in a sitting. This next review is by Dirk. One word, masterpiece. I couldn't get enough of the Gronk scenes. The thought of him getting erotic made me swoon all up in my pants. I'm not even gay. 10 out of 10 would masturbate to again.
Oh my God.
How
did that not get bleeped out?
No, I just knew what it was because the other one was entirely bleeped out.
Oh.
This next one. This one's by Brian Dartstad. My penis and brain were playing chess throughout the entire book.
That's it?
Yes. This one is by just Kindle. This one is a very long written thing by someone just named Kindle Customer. When you are a connoisseur of Patriots tight end themed erotica like I am, it has been a long and dry period these past few years. Of course, the pinnacle of the genre, 2011's A Tale of Two Tight Ends, is unlikely to have a sequel written unless it's a prison-based ... So I've had to muck about with subpar offerings from fans of other teams, joinking Connor Barth a teddy for Bridgewater, even the highly acclaimed giving Aaron Rodgers cheesehead. None of these measure up when you're a diehard Pats jacker like I am. That's why, quote, a gronking to remember is so refreshing. It's a nine root into my heart and loins. It's as if Miss Noonan gazed into my wanting soul and delivered exactly the sort of sweaty gronk pounding, entirely bleeped out. Can't even guess what that was supposed to say. That all Pats fans can be proud of and indeed embrace. The plot is intrinsic. You will never believe how and how often Gronk gets all up in the badoink-a-doink. And when Gronk spikes the football on her face and in her eye, it's nothing but technical mastery. The characterization is also fantastic. Just like a regular season game in London, the journey is long and arduous, but the book will probably have more fans and is more fulfilling. So whether you're a New England housewife looking to spice things up, another closeted Pats fan looking for some good spank material, no judging, or Roger Goodell lying sleepless in a lonely New York hotel room again, this book has all the satisfying gronking you'd ever want and need. You will laugh, you will cry, you will wish the NFL players didn't have legal protections over their names, images, and likeness. Highly recommend.
I think I might have to read this book.
Yeah, I think you do. Let's see how much it costs. Oh, shit. This is awkward.
What?
I am looking at this on my family Amazon Prime. It costs $3. Oh, it's actually 80 pages long, but you got to read it now.
That's really long. I haven't read a book in years.
I haven't either. It's actually a sequel. I'm going to task you reading both. The second's called A Gronking to Remember 2. Chad Goes Deep in the Neutral Zone.
I don't need to read two of those.
It's a business expense.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
No, I really couldn't. I mean, you definitely could, but imagine having to like write that off of your taxes.
My dad does my taxes. So if you're listening, hey dad, please help me out.
Yeah. Well, I think your dad would appreciate that. It's for the podcast.
It's for the podcast. He actually really enjoyed the Bigfoot Erotica episode. He thought it was really funny. So,
oh, I actually found another one. I don't know if it's actually any good, but it's long and you don't write a long review unless you have some magic on Amazon. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
All right. This one's called the USMC-CB. Move over, Christian Gray. You've been gronked. From January
23rd, 2015. Oh,
man. As Tolstoy wrote in War and Peace, man cannot possess anything as long as he fears death. But to him who does not fear it, everything belongs. If there was no suffering, man would not know his limits, would not know himself. I would suspect this may have been ghostwritten by Tolstoy with the excerpt, look at me, ugh, splitting my own seam, oh, going deep. You like how I work my slot receiver like a tight end, like Gronkowski. That's a quote from the book.
That's poetry. That's poetry.
Do you see what I mean? It's damn near screaming plagiarism. My suspicions were put to rest when I did a little research and learned that Leo Tolstoy passed away 105 years ago. When I picked up this gem of modern literature and browsed through it, it was as if Lacey Noonan channeled the literary greats of the past, taking her place among such literary minds as J.D. Stargler, Kurt Vonnegut, and Ernest Hemingway. Leonardo da Vinci has his Mona Lisa. Michelangelo has David. If wordplay is an art, Noonan has a gronking to remember. This is where our heroine Lee comes in. In the shadow of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, it's as if New England Patriots are the Montagues and the New York Jets are the Capulets. Lee's longing to be gronked is shameful, but the heart wants what it wants. Lee has no control over that much in the same way that Juliet has no control for wanting her lady parts to be constantly plowed by Romeo.
Wow.
At times, it's difficult. There's still three more paragraphs. At times, it's difficult to know what Lee is thinking as she watches football with her husband, Dan. Personally, I don't like twists in literature that leave it up to the reader to decipher what a character is thinking. This excerpt is just one example of a lack of specifics and context. Mr. Gronk fucking my ass with warping power at the 50-yard line. I am not a mind reader. I do not want to have to guess. It is for this reason I gave this novel 4 stars instead of 5. Don't leave me hanging. The author's job is to deliver specifics and get the message across. The ending I thought could have used a little more imagination. A drunken Lee is thrown into the end zone by her husband just as Gronkowski has scored a touchdown. She is
thrown into the end zone.
Directly beneath him as he raises the ball for his pending Gronk touchdown celebration and spikes the ball directly into her holy grail as she's on all fours offering herself to him. Not that a rushed conclusion to a magnificent piece of writing can ruin it, but ending like that is predictable. This is just the first of what is to be an epic saga. Overall, I have to say, Noonan wrote one for the ages and might have doomed herself by leaving a lot open for an entire series of Gronking. She will be challenged to make the second novel as good or better than this one.
I wonder if this woman wrote this totally seriously.
Lacey Noonan is her name. I don't care if my best friend's mom is a Sasquatch. She's hot and I'm taking a shower with her.
Oh my God. I think we've unlocked a holy grail.
Dark Desires, taken by the Obamacare sex robot.
No.
Shipwrecked on the island of She Gods, Day One, a South Pacific trans sex adventure. I don't care if my Sasquatch lover says the world is exploding. She's hot, but I play bass and there's nothing hotter right now than rap rock. That's the name of a book.
That's the name of a book that she released.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, what's her name?
Lacey Noonan.
That takes courage, Lacey.
This book is just free. Seduced by the Dad Bod.
That really takes courage, Lacey. I respect that. Put yourself out there.
Eat Fresh Flow, Jane and Wendy, and the $5 footlong lesbian fiction.
I mean, even if it's a joke, this takes time and effort.
Yeah. Oh, book two of my Obamacare nightmare. The blacker the robot, the moister the oyster.
Okay, that's not...
Falling for Obamacare sex robot.
What was the first one about Sasquatch in the shower?
I don't care if my best friend's mom is a Sasquatch. She's hot and I'm taking a shower with her. A Cruzmas Carol. Ted Cruz takes a Dickens of a constitutional.
Oh my God. These can't be serious.
I think they have to be a joke. Hotboxed, How I Found Love on Amazon.
Wow.
That is the extent of Lacey's writing.
It's really powerful stuff.
Very powerful stuff. So, Emmy, you got to read A Gronkening to Remember. It's $3. I think that review would be great.
Yeah. I'll check out that one. I might also try the Sasquatch Mom in the Shower.
I don't care if my Sasquatch lover... There's not. The sequel is called I Don't Care If My Sasquatch Lover Says the World Is Ending. She's hot, but I play bass and there's nothing hotter right now than rap rock. It's just...
How is that a title? It just keeps going and going and going.
That just sounds like something that I would write as a joke. I have a challenge for you listeners. I am going to write a review for a random product, and if you can find it, I'll give you money.
I was gonna say, if you can give us the name of Lacey's next novel.
All right, so we want to generate engagement here. If you guys can give us the name of Lacey's next novel, we're not doing money. I'm gonna cut that out because I don't want to pay you money. If you can guess the name of Lacey's next novel series, because she appears to do books of two correctly, I'll buy it for you and send it to you.
Or if you just tell us something that she would write and it's funny, we'll give you a shout out.
We'll give you a shout out. We're going to start doing stuff like that now, as of right now. All right. So two things. I want someone to draw Pinocchio in sauce for me. Talked about last week. And I want someone make a fake erotica novel title about things that have appeared on this show.
Oh, that's good.
The best few will get a shout out.
Jeff the Talking Mongoose has got to be in there.
Yeah, definitely Jeff. Like, School Knicker has...
The Mongoose in My Walls.
Sausage Swiper needs to be in there somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Swiping the Sausages.
Spoon Licker.
Skyergobbler.
There's a lot of good. Okay. I don't think I've read this one.
Awesome.
So the headline is Friendly Tone, Informative Content, 5 stars by TechWin. And this review is from March 2nd, 2021.
Nice. So that was this month.
Yeah. So TechWin said, I look forward to listening to Steve and Emmy every week. I've been a fan of the paranormal and cryptid since childhood, and these two still manage to bring new things to my attention every week. The banter between them reminds me of so many nights hanging out with friends and swapping stories or weird trivia sitting around a fire. They're obviously passionate about their topics and put in work to make sure they get it right. In a short, friendly atmosphere with two hosts that enjoy themselves while exploring the dark corners of the world. Thanks, TechWin.
Thank you. That was an awesome review. We really appreciate that.
We do.
Yeah. So thanks for tuning in. As we said at the beginning of the episode, make sure you subscribe. If you made it this far, it means you like the show. So if you haven't already, subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. It helps us a lot. Make sure you don't miss an episode. Helps with the charts. And if you're so inclined, leave us a podcast review on Apple Podcasts. I mean, you can leave it on whatever platform you're on, but chances are we're not going to see it unless it's on Apple. But feel free to leave a nice review.
And we'll give you a shout out.
Yeah, and you get a shout out, exactly. Yeah, sign up for our newsletter. It's coming out. It comes out the first Friday of the month. So look for that. Whoever comes up with the best fake erotic novel title will be featured in the newsletter. And also whoever draws Pinocchio and Sauce for us will be featured in there and shouted out. We'll plug everything because I want Pinocchio and Sauce drawn.
Yes, absolutely.
Where can they find us, Emmy?
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at podcast_misfits, YouTube, Misfits and Mysteries, and we're on misfitsandmysteries.com. That's where you can find our blogs and all of our latest episodes.
We're also on Facebook, just Podcast Misfits.
Well, stay spooky, guys.
Stay spooky.
Bye.
Bye.